It's warm in here. All right, good to see everybody out tonight. It's cool outside, but it's plenty warm in here. So good to see everyone here. We're going to begin like we usually do, and we'll look back at and do a little review. I'm going to go back to chapter 24, and we'll start there. We're going to work up tonight through the end of chapter 25. Then Sunday, Lord willing, we will be on chapter 26. And we'll be moving right along. So if we look back at chapter 24, if you recall, Paul goes before Felix, and they bring, the Jews bring this orator that is named Tertullus. And so it says he was... began his accusation, this is verse 2 of chapter 24, began his accusation saying, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. And he goes through this speech and kind of has this flowery speech. And then this is what he accuses Paul of. He says, we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And then he says he even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him. Okay, so it goes on, and this whole scene kind of gets worse and worse. And then as we move on to Paul, and now it's his turn to speak, and he says in verse 14, this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written. So he does say, yes, this way that they're calling a sect, yes, I believe all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, which the Jews would have agreed with. So I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And then... and before that, in the following verses, he says, they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. And so this happens. They have this discussion. And then it says in verse 22, when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So now they got Paul, and they are now going to talk to him a little bit, he and Drusilla. And he says, as he reasoned about the righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. So Paul reasons with him about righteousness and self-control. And when you think about these three points, it makes sense that Felix would be afraid, right? Because he was told the truth right here, right? He was told the truth. And this is what Paul knew exactly what to say to him, and it touched him. Of course... He says, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. So, and it also says in verse 26 that he hoped that some money would be given to him by Paul, that he might be released. And that's another reason why he was kept. So then that chapter ends with Paul being there for how long? 2 years. Okay, so Paul winds up being there 2 years in Caesarea. And then we move on to chapter 25, and let's go up there, and we see that Festus comes on the scene. Now, back in 27, verse 20, in chapter 24, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. So Paul is still there, and 2 years goes by. And then it says, now when Festus had come to the province after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. So, here's Festus. he is now taking the place of Felix, and he comes in after 3 days, and he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and now it's been 2 years, and they're still thinking about what they're going to do about Paul, and they ask him this favor. So they ask him if he summoned him to Jerusalem, but what was their plan? Yeah, they're going to ambush him. Plan they had before, right? A few years ago, same idea. We're going to get him on the way as he travels, and we're going to kill him. But in verse 4, Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him." And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. So, so he goes down to Caesarea, and he said in verse 5, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there's any fault in him." So he tells them now they need to come to Caesarea, and they will meet there, and they will have this discussion, trying to find out what this is, to get to the, kind of the bottom of it with what's going on with Paul. Now, I'll save that thought for a minute. And when he had come to the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem, stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. And there's a point right there that they have all these complaints about Paul, and they can't prove anything. And in verse 8 it says, when he answered for himself, this is Paul, he says, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all." Okay, so he gives his defense right there, and he says, I have not done anything against the Jews or against the temple or even against the Roman law. And of course they can't prove anything. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" So you got Festus, now he's now in this position, and he's wanting to do the Jews a favor. Okay, he wants to make sure that there's not any problems between the Romans and the Jews, right? So he wants to do them a favor, wants to stay on their, I guess, on their good side, so to speak. And he says to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and be judged there before concerning these things?" And Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For I am an offender, or have committed for if I am an offender, I have committed anything worthy of death. I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." So here Paul says, "I've done nothing wrong. They were accusing me of these things falsely. I've done nothing wrong against the Roman laws, and I am not going to go back to Jerusalem." Right? And so what does he do? He appeals to Caesar. So he makes the decision this time to appeal to Caesar, and when you do that, Roman law, you've got to do something next, right? So now they've got to listen to what he has to say and also get him to Rome. So, mm-hmm. That's right. He's exercising his right as a Roman citizen. That's right. Okay. So, verse 10, then Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know." And that's a good point right there. He says to him, "I've done no wrong, and you know I have done no wrong," right? Okay. So he appeals to Caesar, And Festus, in verse 12, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." Okay. So now Festus is kind of put in a position here where he's got, something's got to be done. And verse 13 says, "And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus." Okay, now, if I get this right, Agrippa and Felix's wife, Drusilla, would have been, let's see, he's Agrippa the second, and Drusilla would have been his sister, so that would make them brother-in-laws. Okay, so now Festus, on the other hand, did I say Festus or Felix? Felix and Drusilla were married, and Bernice and Drusilla, Bernice and Drusilla were sisters. So Festus was a brother. Felix was a brother-in-law. Okay. So now Festus, then, in this story, he has no connection here with the Herods. Okay. Thank you for the help. And after some days, in verse 13, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Okay. So we think about it, you have 2 years have gone by, you've got some other days have gone by, and so again, it's been a little bit more time. And when they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix." So now he's going to talk to Agrippa, and he's going to say, "Hey, we've got this man here, and Felix left him here the last 2 years, and we need to deal with him." Verse 15 says, "About whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. Okay. To them I answered, 'It is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to the destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face, and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him.'" So here we see Festus says, "Well, you know, we've got to have some charge against him. We can't just put him to death for no reason, right? Especially now that he's appealed to Caesar." "Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the men to be brought in." Okay, so when the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about one Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters." Okay, so he's reiterating the story to him, and he says, had some questions against him about their own religion, about Jesus who died, and Paul says he is alive. "And because I was uncertain, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning the matters." And of course, at that point in time, "But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, 'I also would like to hear the man myself.' Tomorrow," he said, "you shall hear him." Okay, so now Festus has heard him, Felix has heard him, Festus has heard him, and now he's going to go before Agrippa. Okay, now Agrippa is going to come in and listen to what Paul has to say. And we'll see here in just a minute that Festus doesn't really know what to do with Paul when they send him to Rome, right? What's the charge? I got to have something to go with him. It would look kind of foolish for me to send him there and not have any kind of a charge against him. So he's going to see if Agrippa can help him here. So the next day, in verse 23, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, "King Agrippa and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him." Okay, so again, here he says, I don't find anything wrong that we can charge him with, especially that's worthy of death. And he's appealed to Caesar, and I need to send him there. But he says in verse 26, I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. So here we see that he's telling him, I want to send him. He's asked to go, and he's been charged by the Jews, but I don't have anything to send with him to explain why we need to get him before Caesar. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and to not specify the charges against him. Okay, so now here he is, has this dilemma, and he's got to try to get some help here to be able to send Paul to Rome. And when we move into Sunday morning and look at he's going to talk to Agrippa some more, going to be some more discussion here before Paul heads out to Rome. But there's some thoughts some things I thought about that I'd like for us to think about. Right, and he knew that. That's right. Right. Any other comments before I? Okay. So I was thinking about some things, and I want us to jump over to Romans, chapter 1, verse 10. So this is when did Paul write the book of Romans? During his third journey, okay. So during his third journey, so he wrote the Romans. And here is what he says. We know that Paul wanted to go there. He says, making request, if by some means, now at least I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. Okay, so... So Paul, and this is something that kind of that struck me here, that Paul says that he wants to go to Rome, but what is he saying there? To find a way in the what? In the will of God, okay? So if it's God's will, I'll do that, right? If it's God's will, I'll go to Rome. So I think we have to think about how in Paul's everyday life, and I think it's... We need to think about it with ourselves as well, that we need to be aware that or understand that God or should be involved in our life every day. And we see that Paul recognized that, didn't he? He understood that God was in his life every day. And when he said the will of God, he understood that it's going to be God's will. Go to Acts chapter 18. Just look at some verses here and kind of point some of these things out. Acts chapter 18, verse 21. But took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. Okay, so there again, Paul says, I'll return again to you, God willing. Okay. And then go to 1 Corinthians 4. verse 4:19. And again he says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And then jumping over into 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. And so I think that's a good lesson, a good thought for us to think about Paul's everyday life, how he understood that it was God's will. He wanted to go to Rome, but he understood also it was God's will. Did he know how he was, at this point in time, did he know how he was going to get there? He didn't. We know the rest of the story, right? But at this point in time for Paul, he didn't know how he was going to get to Rome. But he hoped, he prayed that he would be able to go. And we see that though in his everyday life, that he understood that it was God's will, and he would do what God wanted him to do. And I think that's a good lesson for us to think about. Okay. So another thing I thought about Acts 23, verse 11. And we think about as Paul journeyed on these three journeys and what it was like for him. And the question is, were these journeys successful or prosperous for Paul? And I think we can see that. First of all, it was a journey that was God's will, right? If we go to verse 11 in chapter 23, he says, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." So here again we see that it says that the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer." So the Lord stood by Paul. And I think we talked about this before, but he says, "You're going to go to Rome, Paul." Now he doesn't say how you're going to go to Rome yet, right? He doesn't say. But Paul trusts in him and trusts in what he's been told by God that this is going to happen. And I think I mentioned this before when we were back in these chapters, that I think about it says the Lord stood by him. Okay, so the Lord stood by him. And now, you know, the Lord doesn't physically stand by us today. But does he stand by us though? Yeah, he does stand by us. Okay, so we can have that same encouragement as Paul did, to know that the Lord stands by us as long as we are obedient to him, right? Doing his will. So that's a very important for us to remember, a good lesson for us to remember. I think about the song we sing, "In His Time," you know, "In His Time." And we think about how we have to understand that everything is done in God's time, right? God's in control. And there are times I'm sure we think about, oh, why didn't this happen? Why didn't this happen before? What's taking so long? Whatever it is. And we have to understand God's in control. Yes, sir.
I think somebody should write a song, "In His Way," too. Because Paul wanted to go to Rome, but he's not going to Rome the way that, you know, like you said, that Paul imagined he would go to Rome. He would just, you know, set off and convert along the way, all the way to Rome, probably. But instead, if he steps out, he gets probably caught by the Jews. So he's stuck in a system, knowing everybody knows he's innocent within the system, but that's the way God will bring to Rome. And the issue with us is we want God's will to be done, but at the same time, we really want God's will to be what we want.
Yeah, and that's right.
I don't know how Paul struggled, but we see how he submits properly to God in the way that God will do his way, mm-hmm. not Paul's way.
And it was mentioned before in here that Paul was human, and pretty certain there were times when, you know, he didn't understand, you know, and it was a struggle. And so I know if it were me and I'd been told that, and then I spent 2 years in a prison, I'm thinking, you know, when's this going to happen? You know, but it's a good lesson for us to understand that we need to be patient and wait on God, and he's in control, and understand that his will be done in all things. Okay.
I was wondering how much
You know, you're talking about Paul, right? But what we see, because we're able to look at the rest of the story, right? We see Paul. We see someone who, even though he 2 years he hadn't been to Rome yet, he was still busy doing God's will, right? He was still busy. Wherever he was always busy doing what God wanted him to do, and that was teaching people. And it didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter if they were, you know, a high-ranking official or just a regular person. He was always teaching God's will. Another good lesson for us. Okay. And that leads into this point. So with Paul and all this period of time, God always opened doors for him, didn't he? There were always doors that were open, even though he hadn't gone to Rome yet, hadn't accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, but on his journey, there were always doors opening up. Like we read just a minute ago, he reasoned before Felix of righteousness and self-control and judgment. So that was one door that opened up, right? And he was able to teach. Okay. Acts 25:19 that we read says, this is to Festus. He had some questions against them about their own religion and about one who Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Okay, so again, here he spoke about Jesus, right? And he always had that first and foremost on his mind. And then we're not into that chapter yet, but in chapter 26, verses 19 and 20. He affirms all the work that he does. Let's read that, verses 19 and 20. 26, 19, and 20. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and to do works befitting repentance. So here he was talking to Agrippa. Now, Agrippa would have understood some of this, wouldn't he? Okay, with his position, his background. And again, he declares all these things to him, and he tells him all the work that he's been doing. And then in 22 and 23, in the same chapter, therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer and that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So again, so now here he teaches about Moses and the prophets, right? So he's always, always teaching. As we look further in, there's more, and we won't talk about all these things because we're going to do this some of this Sunday, but all the way to Rome, there was more opportunities always afforded to him, right? Always. And we'll talk about some of those things as well when we get next Lord's Day. I guess my point I'm trying to make is that Paul always took advantage of every opportunity. Good lesson for us. Do we take advantage of opportunities? Talked about Paul's perception, his ability to perceive things. Do we see things when they're in front of us? Do we see an opportunity to teach someone? Do we see an opportunity just to present something like Paul did? Did Paul get in all these things he read? Was it very complicated what he talked about? Not at all, right? It wasn't complicated at all. He just explained it to them. And it was just such a good lesson that I thought about how Paul always took the opportunities to help and to teach and to reach out to the lost. Okay. So, with that thought in mind, Paul was on these journeys, right? Paul took these journeys. He's about to take another journey to Rome. And I compared it to our journey, right? We have the same thing. We have a journey as well. And so when we look at our journey, are we being successful or prosperous as we go in our journey as far as teaching others? Does it mean that if I'm successful in teaching God's will and I spend my life in doing those things that God would have me to do like that, does it mean I'm going to have no troubles or problems? No, it doesn't mean that. Yeah. Jesus had troubles, yeah. I mean, and he's told us that, right? You're going to have some opposition, right? And what I appreciate about Paul is that he had that that desire almost so strong that almost he couldn't sleep. I'm looking out among the fields and I see all these things, these people that I need to be teaching, and I don't have time to waste. And so he was always busy like that. Okay. And then again, going back to what I said about Acts chapter 23, verse 11, that we are, if we know God is with us, we know standing with us, then we can have the courage then to do His will and to teach others and to be about spreading the gospel to others. Sometimes we fail in those things, don't we? We sometimes fail in those things, and we let opportunities pass us by. Okay. So let's kind of go back, and that was sort of, I wanted to sidetrack on that for just a minute. That's some things I thought about, and just think about how, Paul always said, the Lord willing, this will happen. Lord willing, this will happen. I can be there, Lord willing. He always put himself in God's hands. And even as we study the next couple chapters, all the things that he went through, and he always put himself in God's hands. Okay, so to kind of bring us up to speed then, Felix is no longer in charge. Paul's been there 2 years. Festus comes in, and he takes over. He talks to Paul, hears Paul out. Paul gives his explanation of everything. It's been 2 years since this started with Paul. And King Agrippa comes. He talks to Festus, and he wants to hear what Paul has to say. And so he listens to Paul. Paul appeals to Caesar, so he's going to go to Rome at this point, and they just got to send something with him to explain why what he's been charged with and the reasoning there. And we get into Sunday, we'll look at some more text with King Agrippa and as he speaks before him, and he gets ready to go to travel to Rome. All right, any other thoughts, questions? Now that's a good point. Festus would have been just as happy just taking back to Rome and everything solved when Paul's killed and we can move on from this situation, right? But of course Paul knew better. And
this verse 11.
Yeah, and not just that verse, but he's been willing to die for the cause from the very beginning, right? And he's saying he's willing to die if he's done something illegal, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, anything else? All right, thank you. We'll be back Sunday morning in chapter 26, and we'll go through that chapter and look forward to it. Thank you for all your comments. The bell should be ringing in just a second.